It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Yes, it's time for the Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we talk with local entrepreneurs and CEOs to hear their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, a Chicago business has taken pet care into the next century. If you're looking to improve upon the experience of owning a cat or a dog, you would definitely say that the biggest issue is cleanup. Kitty litter or walking the dog always score at the top of the list of the top annoyances in pet care. But Chicagoan Alan Cook knows this, and he's spent most of his entrepreneurial life addressing it. His latest product is called Brilliant Pad, the world's first self-cleaning puppy pad and dog potty. You may know that because it got a big boost when Alan took it to Shark Tank just recently, and he scored an investment. Cook is no stranger to the pet world, the pet care world, as he is the man behind scoop-free self-cleaning kitty litter, which he sold to PetSafe back in 2012. Alan Cook, the founder and CEO of Brilliant Pad, in studio tonight. Alan, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And congrats on all your success, and congrats on the Shark Tank. That's awesome. It's always good to see a Chicago guy do well there.
It was fun. It was completely surreal, and it was just an awesome experience.
The questions asked in that interview are very similar to this when it comes to pet care, that the idea of the Brilliant Pad, this concept of actually having a pad inside the house for a dog to go to the bathroom on. It seems like it's something that should have been, I don't know, in pet care, introduced to pet care back in the 50s. It seems like it's a no-brainer. About this.
Well, you know, puppy pads have been around for a while, and the crazy thing is that, you know, you think of puppy pads are being just for puppies. You get the new dog, you train him on the paper, and then you can then take them outside. But we're sitting here in downtown Chicago, and there's all these big, tall buildings around us, and people are using the puppy pads not just for puppies. They're using them for the small dogs throughout their entire life. So if you're caught in traffic, you are detained at the office, whatever it is you have going on, you know, the pads provide some convenience and relief to hold the dog over until you get home to take him out.
When you're dealing with a product like this, one that, of course, is you know, improving upon another idea, what are the challenges of that? What do you have to think about when it goes into when it goes into making the Brilliant Pad work?
Well, I think there's a few things. One is we had to design three products. You think there's this mechanical thing that automatically wraps and seals the waste so your home stays clean and like odor free.
That's the biggest issue, right?
So there's this, people want the mess and the smell to go away. So mechanically, you got to develop this thing that's going to hold up to a live animal hopping on it, trampling around. I mean, if you ever go into like an automotive factory, you see these big robots and machines, and they're over here. And then the people, well, they're over there. You keep them separate, yet we have to create something where a little Godzilla comes trampling down the street, whips out a fire hose, and is like just a menace to everything in its path. So you got to make something that's really easy to use in robust and real-world conditions. The second thing is we thought we could just buy some puppy pads, put them up on a roll. You got paper, you got toilet paper, paper towels. How hard is it to have a roll of puppy pads?
Right.
And we got into it, and we learned, oh, it's actually harder than we thought. So we had to create a pad that was really absorbent, but takes up a lot less space than a regular pad. Because a regular pad, you put it out, you use it, you throw it away.
Right.
In our case, we wrap and seal and store many pads in a small space. So we had to get into some like a medical grade absorption technology to make a pad that's a fraction of the size as a regular one. And pad thickness normally doesn't matter, but when we have a small compact thing that doesn't weigh a ton, so our customers can easily pick it up and throw it away, we had to get creative.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and the third thing was, you know, cats, for example, will use a litter box with little to no training. They just instinctively, when they're roaming the desert, they know what to do. Dogs, on the other hand, need to be trained to adopt new behavior. So, you know, the machine works great. Dogs do what they got to do. But how do you train the human to train the dog to get the desired result? So we created like an online digital coach that constantly reaches out and says, you know, you're on this step. Did he check it off? Or do you need some help? Or are you still working on it? So it's one of those things where it seems like a really easy, simple idea. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the details and you're like, yeah, oh my God, there's a lot of moving pieces.
There's a lot of variables. Because, yeah. And in business, when you're putting together a product that you want to sell and you're workshopping it and you're putting it and you're testing it out, when you have to count on the behavior of the consumer mm-hmm. to change or to, I mean, that has to play in because this would be the best product ever. But if they're not training the dog, right, it's not going to work and they're going to blame your product.
And changing consumer behavior is really hard. Like, I have experience with other physical products, software, technology, and had a company over almost 20 years ago that was an awesome idea, and we failed. And you're like, where did we go wrong? And it was easy to point to, well, we were ahead of its time. It was easy to say it was too early of an internet concept, and it all was true. But at the same time, we wanted people to do something that was so different than what they were used to. That's really hard. So when we moved on from that experience, we said, when we do our next thing, mm-hmm. what do we want to make this next business have a higher likelihood of success? And we said, we want to do something where there's established and proven demand. We may be able to satisfy it in a unique and slightly different way.
Right.
And in this case, there is a world of puppy pads. That's
so true because you're able to really count or really dig deep and find the right way to deal with what I just said about consumer behavior because you know there is a need for this product.
And we didn't have to invent a new need. We didn't have to convince people to use puppy pads, you know, because there's a big and growing market. And, you know, it's as you look at all these like small dogs, like there's small dogs and big dogs. And it turns out that the small dog category under 25 pounds is the biggest and fastest growing segment of the dog market. So puppy pads, which were just kind of there, you go into the big retail stores and what used to be a small little section is an aisle as far as the eye can see. So we applied our expertise of making like pet waste easier to handle, easier to dispose, you know, crazy. A little kid, I wanted to be a fireman, magician, hockey player. And being the kitty litter or pet poop guy was never on the radar, but no, life works in funny ways, and here we are. And yet we come up with this self-cleaning puppy pad that really gets rid of the mess and doesn't smell and does all these other wonderful things. And the biggest problem we have is people look at us like we're crazy. I mean, we are crazy, but not for the reason they think. We're crazy because they are like, but wait, the waste goes where? And it's going to stay in my house? Mm-hmm. And doesn't that smell? And we're like, no, it really doesn't. And we can explain away all that we do to make that mess go away. But people, again, bring a new set of preconceptions. And this product is all this wonderful stuff, but we spend more time over anything else explaining and convincing people why it works. And that's like what I think the biggest benefit from Shark Tank for us is, no, one, the shark said, let me see that dirty roll. Right. It was cracking all jokes about how it's going to smell, and then takes a big whiff and is like, I'm really surprised. I'm really impressed.
About it is that you can see through your career. I mean, just reading about you, even looking at the jobs that you've done and the places where you've been CEO and entrepreneur before, you can see how you have moved forward in your career. You've moved forward and taken on challenges and continue to use the expertise and the lessons that you've learned to continue to, I don't want to say, it's not even disrupting the business, it's improving upon a business, something that I think everybody just assumes that the world should be working on.
I mean, it's one of those things that in hindsight, you're like, oh my God, that's so obvious. And we look back on other things that, even with the litter box, it was a litter box you can leave alone for a month at a time. And now it's one of the best-selling automatic ones in the category. But at the time, people looked at us like we were nuts and crazy. And yet, you know, and they said, well, why don't you use this technology or this features or this other stuff? And we said, because we spend a lot of time thinking about what's the problem we're trying to solve. And technology, in our opinion, is a tool to solve a problem. We will geek out about all the different things that go into it, but our experience is customers don't care. And I think what makes us successful, we spend a lot of time figuring out what's the problem we're trying to solve and why are we better than others. It's not because we're more talented or smarter, but I think we've done a better job defining the key challenge.
Yeah.
And then whenever we have to make trade-offs, because you can't do, for whatever reason, whatever comes up, my engineering team, my production team, my marketing team, all understand the specific problem we're trying to solve. And, and the engineers can say the marketers want to do this. And the production people say the engineers are solving for that. They may not agree with, they may have a different point of view of how to move forward. But what makes our team so effective is we understand all those dynamics and we can take it all back to what are we solving for? Yeah. What's important to the customer to drive it forward?
Alan Cook is the founder and CEO of Brilliant Pad. He's in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation here on The Download in Chicago Business. So stay with us.
It's business time.
It's the Download on Chicago Business here, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio, Alan Cook. He's the founder and CEO of Brilliant Pad, which is the world's first self-cleaning puppy pad and dog potty. And, we're talking about the challenges of just the R&D and being able to put a prototype out, but also then be able to get it out there to people and actually get consumer habits up to speed. I would think that the work that you're doing, and you mentioned it right before the break about kitty litter, where now it almost is a no-brainer for cat owners to say, I need to have one of these automatic kitty litters. You were one of the first to do that, and you were able to sell your product. And now I don't know if anyone goes back to the old way of scooping litter because these things are really ingenious. It's going to be the same with adult dog potty, self-cleaning pads. How do you keep up with that when the big dogs, no pun intended, start turning their attention and become competition?
Well, you read and hear a lot about companies that spend time with patents and intellectual property. And, even with our kitty litter experience, we were involved in some messy, complicated patent litigation.
Really?
We were not the first automatic self-cleaning litter box, but generally, put out what people sometimes say is like the best one. And the incumbent company did not like, they had a market, and then someone came up with a better mousetrap. And we were small. We were focused. We didn't know that we tried a variety of products, and the things that didn't work really bothered us. And we thought really hard of how to improve upon and make it better. And we did what we practice, what we believe to be product development 101. And what we learned is, why does innovation often come from smaller, newer companies? I mean, look at the big apps you use on your phone. How many of these companies existed 10 years ago?
Right.
And yet they're the ones that you go to hail a cab and make restaurant reservations and do all the other things that you do. And what we've learned is, especially like when we sold our last company, we had a dozen people that can fit in a small room. What we lacked in process and structure, we overcame by just bringing people together and talking everything through. When we sold our products to another company, they had several hundred people, and they can't just scrum and just figure things out. So they have very clearly defined roles and responsibilities, and it makes them tremendously efficient at each specific activity. But if something, we kind of say, can they hit a curveball? If something lands outside a defined role,
right,
they're not necessarily set up to bring the different people together to figure out that specific issue. And it's not because one approach is better or worse than the other, but it's different. So we often find a lot of the innovations in the industry come from outside the larger, more established companies. It's people that say, I had this personal experience. I really wish this was better. And then they kind of go off and work at it.
Does the goal become for an entrepreneur like yourself with success before of selling a concept to sell again? I mean, is the idea to be, hey, big pet care companies, look at me. You should get this. You should come buy my company.
It's a little bit weird because years ago, when we would say, hey, Mr. Big Company, we have this going on, they kind of like looked at you and it's kind of like, whatever. Now it's a different conversation. We're like, hey, we know what you did before. You have a track record. We understand where this is going. So we have conversations, and it's not as much a debate, but it's a discussion of what do we want to do with it.
Right.
And it's a little bit different. It's one nice thing of having some success behind you is you can be a little bit more discerning in the opportunities you want to take going forward. So, we think through, we can think through like revenue and cash flow and valuation multiples and have a wonky finance conversation. But we also think about what are the specific problems we like to solve. And when you look at our team, we've been working together for between 15 and 20 years. The new guy on the team, he's only been with us for 13 years. So, you know, there's a reason after we sold the last one and took some time off that we kind of reformed, because we love solving hard problems. We love working with each other, you know, and we want to do things that, you know, there's a great financial and business case around everything we do, along with solving a really hard problem and doing it with cool people.
And I was going to say, and I would assume if you have a group of people you worked with for that long, you know the intentions of what the goal is for the company. It's not like you and you got a bunch of people who've been there for 3 months and they, you know, you make the decisions and they're not involved. I mean, that would assume that there's more collaboration about what the goal is for a Brilliant Pad.
And everyone has very strong opinions. Well, not just strong opinions, but everyone understands what we're collectively solving for. So for us, it's less about ownership and are we an independent company or part of something else. You know, I think there's flexibility on the form. What is important to us is what are we doing and who are we doing it with and how do we engage and manage our day-to-day. That we have a very strong opinion on.
All right, my last question tonight is really, I ask a lot of entrepreneurs this, but what about, why Chicago? I mean, this is a company, again, that doesn't have any specific, I mean, the consumer base is at the world at this point. It's not just, why stay here? What is it about Chicago that keeps you here as an entrepreneur in this town?
Well, Chicago, you know, entrepreneurship in Chicago is an interesting place because while I grew up here in the north suburbs, I went to college on the East Coast and stayed for work. And ultimately, it was family that brought me back to Chicago. What I love about the city is there's a work ethic. There are values. There's a certain thing. You look people in the eye and you know that it means something. I place a great deal of value on that. The flip side is our team is distributed. While some of us are in Chicago, we have someone in Boston, someone in Baltimore, and all the rest.
Right.
So we spend a lot of time on Skype and just, you know, using various technologies that bring people together, even though they're physically far apart. And there's something nice about being central. And I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but our work does take us all over the world. We have awesome airports that we can fly nonstop anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
And it's a nice balance. And there's really no better place to be in the summer either.
Alan Cook is the founder and CEO of Brilliant Pad, the world's first self-cleaning puppy pad and dog potty. He also had the scoop-free self-cleaning kitty litter, which he sold to PetSafe back in 2012. Alan, great to meet you. Thanks for coming and being my guest in the Download Chicago Business. Appreciate it.
Thanks. This was a lot of fun.